Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my home studio recording far, far away from my producer again, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Good. Where are you now?
Oh, I'm in Los Angeles, where mere minutes ago I was almost hit in the face by Lizzo doing jump ropes for her personal training in the hotel fitness center. So I'd say I'm really living that LA life, and I love this triumphant return.
I have so many questions. First of all, why is Lizzo in LA at a hotel gym?
I'm staying at like kind of a nicer hotel. It's for work and it's, you know, it's like a cool spot in West Hollywood. It's one of the like fitness centers where it's for people who are staying here, but also I think they have like personal trainers and it might be like a chain. So it actually is like a more private like fitness place to work out, I guess. So I guess that's why she's here.
I'm
certainly glad that I pushed off working out until the afternoon because I was graced by her presence.
Yeah. My second question was, why the fuck are you in a gym while traveling? I would never. I've never heard of anybody like actually using a hotel gym while they're on the road. But that's me and the lifestyle that I lead.
Yeah, well, sorry that I'm just like such a fitness girl now. I'm a fitness influencer all across the world. True. It's also because in LA where you don't walk and you only take cars everywhere, if I don't work out, my back will dissolve and I will be in a lot of pain. So I have to move my body to some degree. And I chose to do that in the fitness gym at this hotel. As did Lizzo. So I heard her cackle and it really brought me so much joy.
Anyway, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking.
I did. That was the first thing I asked was, how are you? And then you said, well, let's tell people where you are. So, you know, you're welcome
okay,
for asking.
Fine. Just turn the tables on me. You leave me alone in New York all by myself like Macaulay Culkin. And I have no choice but to cry all day. I did go on a date for the first time in a while.
Oh my gosh.
I did debate wearing shorts. I was like, is it acceptable to wear shorts on a date?
Yeah.
When it's 90 degrees in New York City?
When you've got thighs like yours, it's acceptable.
I didn't. I did wear pants and shockingly, I didn't sweat.
Huh.
But mostly because I was running late, obviously, and I took an Uber instead of taking the train. So I did get that sweet, sweet air conditioning.
Speaking of sweating,
what's happening on today's episode? Okay, first, obviously, we're going to kick things off, as always, with Worst Things First, where I chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. But then after that, we're diving deep into one of the sexiest topics we have ever covered, a topic that we ourselves are almost always covered in sweat. Because everyone's like, oh, I love summer. Bring on the heat, they say. But I'm over here drenched in my own juices and I'm sick of it. It's true. We just started recording a mere 5 minutes ago and I can already feel the sweat forming on my back and beneath my breasts. So
upper lip for me, always and forever.
No, fortunately, I'm not an upper lip sweater.
Oh, God, you lucky bastard.
Knock on wood. And finally, we've got Becca Martinez and Jess Ambrose on the pod. Becca and Jess are the co-hosts of the podcast Chatty Broads, and they've got a lot to get off their chest, especially about Ryan Reynolds, Nick Cage, and Nutella. So a lot of hot takes coming in from the Chatty Broads themselves. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, worst things first, let's chat about the worst news of the week. First, scientists are baffled, which is always a promising way to start a story.
Love that.
Scientists are baffled by a strange, unidentified illness that's killing hundreds of birds in multiple U.S. states.
Birdwatch 2021.
It's Birdwatch 2021 again, but in this case, they're dead. I don't know if that's better or worse. That's the double-edged sword that is hating birds. Because as much as I hate birds, I don't love the omen that is dead birds across multiple states
from
a disease that we cannot identify. I did walk past a dead bird recently, and I did not like it.
Matt. I was sitting in the hotel, the hotel restaurant, which again, LA, a lot of things are outside. And there was like the pool and there was glass above the pool. And these three birds flew by. Two of them made it. One went directly into the glass, on the floor. Everyone in the restaurant was like, oh my God, we just witnessed death. We told someone who works there, she goes to bring a box to, like, I'm assuming give it a respectful burial. And then it popped up and just stood there for a while, but it was only moving its head. And we were like, oh my God, this is wild. And then its bird friend flew back and was like, dude, what's going on? And the bird was like, I don't know, I can't move. And then the bird friend gave up on him and flew away. And then another 10 minutes passed and it flew right just like up a little bit onto a ledge. And then the bird friend came back and then the two of them flew away together. This was like a half hour saga and the whole restaurant was clapping when the birds flew away.
You witnessed an entire Pixar film.
Yeah. It was a really emotional way to start my day.
Yeah. You saw the fall and rise of this bird.
So I feel like this story, this worst things first story is really going to hit hard.
No, I walked past the bird that I saw was already dead, unfortunately, lying on the ground, you know.
Or maybe it'll pop back up. We thought this other bird was dead. We thought it fully smashed itself to death.
I didn't really poke him and find out for sure. Anyway, we're one sentence into this story. So there are reports from Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Ohio, Virginia, and West Virginia. Who knew that those were two different states? And Washington, D.C., they've come in of birds with swollen and crusty eyes and neurological symptoms like seizures and loss of balance. Did your bird exhibit swollen, crusty eyes?
I'm pretty sure it just exhibited having flown at full speed into glass and then fallen. So I think that's what it exhibited.
Well, maybe he didn't see the glass. Because he had swollen, crusty eyes.
Or because they had just used Windex on it. This is a Windex commercial now.
The idea of a crusty eye. Maybe he was sleeping for a long time. Okay, you never know with these birds.
It does just sound like someone who you know, just got up from a very deep sleep.
Right. Your eyes are all swollen. You get a little crusty. It's pretty dry in a lot of these places. Mm-hmm. You just never know. Anyway, no. So one biologist was like, we don't know what this shit is, but it seems like it's killing all of these birds. It's pretty deadly. They don't really get over it. One wildlife rescue person said that they've been getting a steady stream of birds coming in since the middle of April, and that initially they tried to treat all of these birds, but they just went downhill. They died no matter what. And now they just are starting to put down the birds. Just they're just like, we can't. These birds are done. No. Sorry, you have the weird bird disease. So whatever authority works on bird diseases, probably not the CDC, but who knows? These authorities are like, okay, here's how you prevent the spread of bird diseases. Don't feed birds, idiots, because then they'll all congregate in one place and pass their bird diseases on to one another.
Mm.
Okay, you're having bird spring break. Every time that you throw breadcrumbs out, you're just encouraging all these birds to get together and go birds gone wild. Clean your bird feeders and your bird baths.
Never once thought about doing that.
Bleach solution. Better yet, don't have anything that attracts a fucking bird to your house. I don't understand a bird feeder.
That's going to be devastating to my parents.
A hummingbird feeder, I'll allow.
Those are nice.
Because that's basically like a fairy. They also said, keep your pets away from sick or dead birds. Obviously. Don't let your dog go run around and, you know, play with the bird carcass.
Mm.
They also said, don't handle sick or dead birds yourself. But if you have to, use disposable gloves. I mean, here's the thing. We had to literally remind people last year to wash their fucking hands. So I feel like if a bird disease wanted to wipe us out, we're kind of ripe for it. You know what I mean?
We're not even out of the pandemic yet, dude.
Yeah. Love talking about a weird, unidentified disease.
Not at all triggering.
Anyway, next. NASA is just launching a bunch of baby squid into space.
I really don't appreciate this. Just to see what happens. Like, why? Why do that? Why put anything in space is my first question.
Yeah, I do love this kind of genre of science experiment where it's just like, I don't know, let's just launch these animals into space and see what happens. Remember that monkey that went to space? Didn't they shot a dog into space?
They sure did.
Is he dead?
I mean, at this point, definitely.
I mean, yeah, there's no way that dog... I mean, he's dead inside for sure. You don't experience going through space without knowing what the fuck is going on.
I know.
And then come back. Like, at least humans know what's happening.
I took Putty on a plane a couple of times and he sat and was looking out the window as we were taking off. And I was like, I don't know what's going through his head right now. Either his mind is absolutely being blown or he's just sitting.
Yeah, it's so confusing why they do this. They're also launching Jeff Bezos into space, so that's another experiment.
You can keep him there. It's fine.
I mean, that's a different experiment because it is like, okay, well, how will space affect a human squid hybrid? So we're kind of getting the answers to both questions.
Yeah, do you think it actually is that he wants an aquarium up there, and he was like, well, I don't want to bring it. Why don't you guys just shoot some into space and then I'll hang out with them when I'm up there.
I mean, if I was the richest man in the world, yeah, I'd be like, fuck it. You know how rich people have aquarium walls in their houses? Guess what? I'm building aquarium space now. The sky is my wall. Anyway, so these were baby Hawaiian bobtail squid. They were blasted into space as part of a SpaceX resupply mission to the International Space Station, which as far as I know, so this headline said it was NASA, but now I don't know, does NASA work with SpaceX? Because
yeah,
SpaceX
I think so.
Is the crazy Tesla man.
Yeah.
Whose name I won't say because I'm afraid if I say it too many times, he'll appear. But anyway, I mean, fuck it. What happens in space is, it's kind of we got enough problems here. Do you know what I mean? It's can we solve our own squid problems before we start sending them out into space? I just don't have this head. I don't have the energy to think about anything that's happening beyond this atmosphere.
Hard agree. And when you think about Squidward, like, Squidward wouldn't want to go into space. I don't think these little guys would either.
No, I mean, he had the option plenty of times. Sandy's rocket was right there. But he didn't. Mm-mm. Frankly, once again, we must say we know less about the deep ocean than we do about space. So I feel like we should be answering questions at home first before we start go poking around outside. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, when my mom was like, you have to clean your room before you can go out and play. So that's kind of my attitude about space policy. In case you're worried, the squid will be coming back to Earth in July, if they make it. And finally, this story, I don't know. Basically, this man in South Carolina called the police and he was like, my new girlfriend assaulted me over s'mores.
Oh.
Yeah, the police got called because this couple was fighting and they said that the fight started over s'mores.
Was it because it was a fight over what type of marshmallow was better? If it's letting it get like blackened and mm-hmm. blowing out the fire, or if it's more of a golden roasting situation?
Yeah, here's my controversial. I would love to have this story in, if only to talk about my feelings about s'mores.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I feel like this story is really just about how s'mores are not a good treat. S'mores do not work as a food, and I will say it proudly, even if it means this man's girlfriend beats me up. I feel like, first of all, there's too much work involved in guessing how hot fire is. I don't know how close or far I should be holding the marshmallow, and then how quickly the flame catches on. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, you've charred the outside. The inside is still soft. There's a perfect temperature for roasting a marshmallow, toasting a marshmallow, and you can never get it. It's impossible.
Right.
And then you're still kind of just chomping into a block of chocolate and graham cracker. It's not easy to eat.
That's my biggest issue, is that the chocolate should be melty. You know, it should be melty. All the flavors of a s'more is great. I love a deconstructed s'more type of sundae situation. Chocolate, exactly. Marshmallow and graham cracker. Great flavor of combos. Yes. But when you have it in the actual like camping sense of it, it's extremely messy.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hot. And then the chocolate's too cold and hard. And then the graham cracker, the chances of you being able to get the graham cracker out in one piece when you're snapping it, it's impossible. It's always going to be crumpled into at least three pieces by the time you just try to put it on the marshmallow and hope that the stickiness is just going to like glue it together. But you know what? It won't.
No, s'mores are impossible. Yeah. And now I can like feel my stomach. I really want dessert. I mean, the funniest part of the story is that they'd been dating for 2 weeks, but living together the entire time, according to this report. Which just doesn't make sense. This is like a sitcom. They're like just dating and moved in together. Anyway, that's it for this week's Worst Things First. If you want to hear and see even more stories that were brutally cut from this week's episode, you can head to my Patreon, patreon.com/MattBellisI. Next, put on some deodorant because we're diving deep into these sweaty pits. You're welcome. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Guess what? It's summertime, at least here in the hemisphere that we're in, which means what? The fish are jumping, the cotton is high, and also my sweat glands are working overtime. This body is wet. And yeah, that's right. We're bitching about sweat once again. I feel like I just feel deep down like we do a deep dive about sweating every 3 weeks. Maybe it's because it's constantly on my mind.
Well, because it's constantly on your body.
Also
and we
true.
Have definitely talked about sweat before, but we have not dedicated an entire deep dive to this very near and dear topic.
Yeah. And you know what? Until scientists, they buck up and start solving this issue and stop my body from secreting moistness like a swamp creature, You're all going to have to hear about it. Frankly, it's ridiculous that science can come up with a vaccine for the coronavirus in a year. You can pool your resources. You can make miracles happen. But you still have not invented a pill that just stops me from sweating altogether. Make it make sense. You know how much I would pay for that? I fucking got the vaccine for free. I pay thousands of dollars for a pill. So I'm just saying it's something. It makes market sense. And I know they know how to do it.
There is demand. All we need is the supply.
Yeah, but you know who's stopping it? You know, big deodorant is out here putting the money behind making sure that we're still sweaty. And also, I guess
Arm & Hammer, Dove.
Our body technically needs to sweat, but still, fuck off. There's no...
Dogs don't sweat. Dogs just pant. I'd rather pant.
I would so much rather pant. Anyway, let's bitch about sweat. Because, yeah, apparently this is the first full deep dive we've done about sweating. So let's get into it. First, it's just impossible to be in a good mood while you're sweating. Impossible. No person has ever been in a good mood while dripping with sweat. Okay?
No.
Unless you're like, you know, performing. A kind of like...
No. Even then, all of your energy, all of your bodily energy and your mental energy is totally controlled by the sweat. So you don't even have room in your brain to think about being happy because all you can think about is the fact that you're sweating everywhere.
Yeah. My point being, I cannot imagine many situations, if any, in which a person is in a good mood from sweating. Perhaps I can think of one situation in which you're doing physical activity with one or more partners and you're in a good mood. But even then, I'm like, I could do with less sweat, frankly.
Do you think that Fergie was happy being on stage while her crotch was sweating to the point that people thought that she had peed herself?
No, absolutely not.
And frankly, everyone is like, oh, you sweat from the armpits. But guess what? There are other places that you sweat from and we don't talk about it enough, which I'm sure we'll be covering later on in this deep dive.
Exactly. Next, swamp ass.
Why? Why must it happen?
The indignity of having to go into a restroom and use toilet paper just to wipe sweat away.
I will say we did talk about this in an advertisement for Hello Tushy, but like Hello Tushy has actually helped with this issue.
Yeah.
It has made it less demoralizing, you know, to be able to clean that away with some spray of water instead of, you know, just hundreds of paper towels.
Yeah. I mean, I feel perfectly comfortable acknowledging just because both of us are huge fans of Hello Tushy in our everyday lives.
Yeah.
But yeah, I often think about like, I mean, this is really just an open-ended discussion at this point, but I often think about what the type of underwear I'm wearing, like the material, whether that contributes to it, whether it's too breathable or not breathable enough. Because, yeah, I will say perhaps, you know, I've just matured as a person, but I feel like swamp ass has become less of an issue in my mature life. But maybe I'm not doing enough to sweat down there. Maybe I need to try a little harder.
Yeah, I definitely underwear material is part of it. I don't know if Nike makes any sort of anti-wicking underwear, but if not, here's a great idea, guys. Make some wicking underwear.
Yeah,
you know?
Actually, that's another good point. Because what the fuck is anti-wicking? Where are you wicking this stuff? And I'm wearing this garment that supposedly has this magical anti-wicking technology, which frankly should be in all items of clothing. It's
Amen.
Indescribable why. I mean, yeah, I don't even understand what the point of anti-wicking is. Is the point that...
Sorry, we keep saying anti-wicking, but I think it is just wicking. It's anti-sweat, right?
Anti-moisture wicking. It wicks the sweat away. Whatever.
Right,
the point is, where the fuck does it go? Is it that it is wicking it away from your skin and absorbing it into the material of the shirt?
But then the material still is dry. It makes no sense. It is witchcraft is what it is. It's called wicking because it's actually made by Wiccans.
Sure. Clever.
I know. Thank you. But one very sad solve to the underwear problem is changing her underwear multiple times a day during the summer. It's
I that perhaps is a sign that I am wearing the correct material and that I don't have this issue perhaps as much as I did when I was younger. I don't know what's changed, but I very rarely am changing my underwear midday.
Must be nice.
Next! My least favorite thing about summer / sweaty season is the fact that I sometimes, by sometimes, I mean often, have to take 2 showers a day. See, I am a morning shower person, generally.
Same.
Although same. Lately I'm like an afternoon shower person.
Well, that's because that's your morning.
Exactly. But I'm like, showers what you do to wake up in the morning and to get things going. A lot of people are shower before bed type of people. Which is, you know, mm-hmm. you spend your day in filth and then you choose that one, you know, hour at night to get ready before you go into sheets for 8 hours.
Right, right. Always fucks me up to really think about how much time we spend sleeping, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but that's for another day.
But here's the thing that fucks me up is that I don't like how much I sweat in bed. Which is why I'm generally against taking a shower at night, because I'm like, all I'm going to do is get into bed and then sweat for 8 hours and then wake up just as oily and gross as I went to sleep. Also ridiculous that I sweat while I sleep. I looked this up on WebMD and it did tell me I was dying. But the point is, because you're not supposed to sweat when you're just lying prone for the night. But given my lifestyle and diet choices, my body secretes while I sleep.
I mean, same. It depends on the day, but like there's definitely, I'll say this. When we change the sheets, there is a mark where I sleep and none where Alex sleeps. And that, my friends, is painful to me in my soul.
Nothing is more humiliating to me than when I have to get up. This is truly an encapsulation of what it feels like to be 30, is when I have to get up in the middle of the night to pee, and then I have to adjust where I get back into bed because of the wet spot that I've left from my sweat.
Yes.
It's just two humiliations in one. The getting up to pee and then the realizing how much I was sweating. And finally, sweat stains. Mm. I would almost be less angry at sweating if it was just kind of quietly happening underneath my clothes. But the fact that it has to announce itself to the public, just like a hungry newsboy. Extra, extra. Look at my wet pits. That's what it says.
Especially when it's like, it's look at my wet pits while they are wet, but also look at how I once had wet pits, because it also changes the color of your shirt. And that is really offensive and rude. And like, why would you do this to me, body? All I have done is take care of you. Not really. I've actually done a lot to harm you, but also to take care of
you. Yeah, that is the other thing. It's like, I don't like that I can draw a direct connection between something that I ate or drank and to how much I'm sweating. Like, I can tell the moment it kicks in the morning when I have my coffee and I start sweating. And it's like, come on, man.
Exactly.
Just be cool. But yeah, I feel like I would almost like it even, I would mind it less if my sweat spots took the form that it takes in like the movies, you know, where it's like you got the sweat stain around the chest and you got the sweat stain around the pits. No, mine is just spots wherever they decide to pop up. When I'm walking down the street, and some of these clothes, H&M, I'll name names. Some of these clothes are just like, we're going to design clothes so that they show every drop of sweat the most glaring way we can.
Do you remember American Apparel used to make shirts that would be like, it would change colors with the heat of your body? But really what that ended up doing was just like, it was really dark around your armpits and like under your boobs. And it was like, this was a prank.
Anyway, the point is, sweating is fucking awful. My sweat stains are never in the right place. They're never just normal looking. Sweating is bad. And it should stop. Sweating, if you're listening, please heed my concerns and give up. Anyway, that's it for this week's Deep Dive. Next, we got Becca and Jess from Chatty Broads on the pod right after this commercial break.
Hold up. I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
My guest complainers today are co-hosts of the wickedly popular podcast, Chatty Broads. Welcome to the pod.
Hello.
Jess Ambrose and Becca Martinez.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for joining. So we like to get our complaining juices going by asking, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
We gave you lots of options in the email.
Yeah, you sent a bunch of options. I figure we can do like one now, one each, and then talk more, and then we can get to the rest of them.
Perfect.
Sounds fantastic. Becca, would you like to dive in?
I can't even remember what I sent now. Now that we're saying it, I have like lots of things that I hate. So, you know, it's like the list is endless on any given day.
You're not restricted just to the list.
Should I start with the least controversial or the most controversial?
Why don't we start with least and then we can, you know, work our way up. We don't want to shock everybody too quickly.
Okay, I'm going to start with Ryan Reynolds then.
Bold that is the least controversial.
Exactly.
I'm going to start with Ryan Reynolds. And Ryan Reynolds just has this whole thing on the internet where, you know, it's like, we have talked about this. I hate that I'm a relatable person kind of bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, stop trying to be funny. Stop responding to everyone. Get off fucking Twitter. Like, you're an actor. Can't you just like live your life at Nobu in peace? And like, I don't want to see you on the internet trying to be funny and snarky and relatable and just like a funny dad. I hate that.
I'm like hard agree. I do. I mean, it's hard because, like, honestly, he could do whatever he wanted to me and I would be fine with it. And, you know, that is my toxic trait. But I do very much agree with the whole, like, oh, I'm, like, super hot, but I'm so relatable and I, like, you know, make jokes. And it's like, no, you have to pick.
Stay in your lane.
You can't be both.
Exactly. I mean, it's true. I mean, I love some Ryan Reynolds. Don't get me wrong. I am a little bit of a sucker for his face. but, yeah, when I'm like, I know I can't relate to you. You are so wealthy. You live a completely different life than 99.999% of the world. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you can just be that guy. Just be that guy. And it's all good.
To me, he's the male Chrissy Teigen. And, you know... I say that not about him like bullying people to unalive themselves on the internet, but more in the sense of just like, I'm going to clap back. And I'm just like, no.
Right, right.
Delete.
Yeah, it's a type of kind of personality that is very much of Twitter and yeah, it can be exhausting. So, okay. So we have Ryan Reynolds.
I mean, I'll just hop in then with, if we're going to be talking about actors, I'll talk about mine. And mine is Nicolas Cage. And I know that Becca says not everybody loves Nicolas Cage, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how many people I've gone toe to toe with. I don't know how many bars I've been in where I go, I don't like Nicolas Cage, and people might as well be flipping tables and like throwing drinks in my face.
Yeah, this one perplexed me when I saw you email it. I'm like, do people love Nicolas Cage?
I get such extreme reactions about Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
I think every once in a while I'll meet someone who's like, oh my God, I can't stand Nick Cage either. But in general, people get hot, hot, hot. They do not like me coming for Nick Cage. It's literally like he is the national treasure and they just do not want to deal with me having a problem with him.
I almost feel like people are defensive of Nick Cage because so many people hate him though.
Perhaps, but the people I've encountered, I'd have to disagree with you in my specific existence. I don't, and I do, maybe I come in very passionately about my distaste because everyone always has the same response to me. Everybody always goes, well, you know, there's been a few movies that didn't pan out well, but like Raising Arizona. I'm like, listen,
Raising Arizona, fantastic movie. Do I think it would have been better with a different actor? Absolutely. So that's always my thing with Nick Cage. I'm like, he got in the biz because of his family. It's a family business. He got in. And I feel like, exactly, I feel like his parts would be cast so much better with different actors. And I just, I don't believe him. I think he's a terrible actor. Terrible.
Just pulling no punches.
No.
We're going all out on Nick Cage.
I'm coming for him.
I do forget that he's a Coppola. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, and that's not lost on me. That's not lost on me, Matt, at all. Because
nepotism.
The nepotism might seem real, you know, because there's been sometimes when, you know, I watch him in a dialogue with another fantastic actor or actress, I'm just like, I don't understand why, how this ended up happening. Like, how did this make it to the screens?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't have any particularly strong opinions about Nicolas Cage, but I will say it was like my natural defenses did go up.
Me too.
I was like, there's something.
You're
like,
whoa, you feel protective of him. You're like, whoa, you don't got to go that hard on Nick.
People right. love to protect Nick Cage. There's just something, it's part of like a trait of living in the US of A that like, even if you don't love him as an actor, you must protect him.
You know why? Yeah. I feel defensive of him because I feel like he has unashamedly done really shitty movies and like shitty parts. And I sort of feel this knee jerk reaction to like protect him. Like he just puts it all out there. I think he said at some point like that he would never say no to any movie just because like he loves to act so much. Like I think he literally said that. And I'm like, there's something I respect about that is that he's just willing to put it all on the line just because he loves being in movies.
And honest, I would respect that massively if when I talked about him being an atrocious actor, people would agree with me. But because they get defensive, I feel more passionate about Nick Cage.
Yeah, I did see Moonstruck for the first time in the last year. I think Moonstruck was like a movie that a lot of people kind of came to in the last year if they hadn't seen it already. And he is shockingly hot in that movie, I will say.
Yes, he is attractive in that movie. It's just I don't know, it's the vocal tones. I'm very auditory and I just can't roll.
He does like, do this like talk half out of half of his mouth.
Yeah, which I sometimes Harrison Ford does too, and I live for that, and I'm just a full Harrison Ford simp. But with Nick Cage, when it happens, I can't do it. I just want to see someone else on my screen.
Yeah, I think it's probably just a certain generation that were like, you know, we were raised on National Treasure and stealing the Declaration of Independence was is part of our culture.
Of course, of course.
So it's difficult. It is difficult to hear, but you know what? I appreciate that you are not afraid to go hard for a controversial answer. Yeah.
Today I declare I am honest with the world about my distaste for Mr. Cage. Sorry, Nick.
Right. I mean, I feel like we've gotten a taste of sort of just in the first 10 minutes what your podcast is like.
Yeah.
But for listeners of this podcast who might not have heard yours yet, give me the lowdown.
Well, we talk a lot about The Bachelor. I was on The Bachelor, so naturally I have lots of opinions about The Bachelor. So we do recaps of every episode of pretty much every season, but we have a lot of other episodes in the downtime, and we do two episodes a week. And so when we're not talking about The Bachelor, we're usually talking about dating and motherhood and having random people on to talk about their niche experiences in the world. And I don't know, we just recorded an episode about weddings,
wedding do's and don'ts. Yeah,
we kind of just talk about what we want to talk about.
Yeah, I guess wedding season is sort of picking back up. Like,
it is.
You know, we got past the point of Zoom weddings, and now everyone is kind of returning back to the normal shenanigan.
Yes. So yeah. We had to put out a please, you know, it was a lot of don't do what I did type, you know, commentary. Please learn from my mistakes during my wedding.
Yeah, you also say, I mean, you obviously cover a lot of Bachelor Nation stuff I'm like sort of peripherally aware of Bachelor Nation. Sometimes I have to like give myself a bit. I have to come up for air.
Yes.
and take a deep breath and then dive back in.
Yes,
understandably.
Shit's going down in the Bachelor fandom, though. That much I know.
Yes, it's been a wild roller coaster for the past couple months in general.
Yeah. Have we like recovered yet? Are we back into a steady stream of?
I think we're gonna get there.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna get there. I mean, there was some upheaval, right? You have COVID. They're not traveling. You have the host is getting canceled, and you have new hosts, and you have leads not getting engaged to anyone. And I think we're at the end of that period of time. Mm-hmm. I think the chaos was very 2020. I think we've got new year, new seasons coming. I'm remaining optimistic. So.
I think that's good. And then, you know, famously, I feel like there was some overlap into my the world that I spend the most time in, which is homosexual world, when Colton came out. And I was like, you know, we got our entry point here.
Yes. We're still, you know, hopefully, you know, there's some shifts that are happening in Bachelor Nation, hopefully, as far as production is going, knock on wood. I mean, we've been talking for years, like we would love to be able to see like a queer bachelor. Like, I mean, this is hopes. And I know, was it New Zealand just had their first queer bachelorette who just started? I believe it might have been New Zealand. I might be off on that. But, you know, hoping that maybe we're going to move forward in the Bachelor world.
Yeah, I still think a queer Bachelor season would probably be a hot mess.
That's what I think. I think it would implode upon itself. You'd have people that would be running away with each other, hooking up. It would turn into this wild VH1, like, shit immediately.
I think it would absolutely set back the gay rights movement many decades. I do think, there was a show on Logo that was called like Finding Prince Charming, and it was the attempt at the Gay Bachelor, and
did it not go well?
Devastating.
Oh no!
No.
Oh no!
It was even the concept. The setup was so weird because it was like there was a bunch of like, you know, attractive gays, and then they had the kind of main bachelor, the Prince Charming, who was just like a slightly hotter
one. Right, I was gonna say, you really gotta make sure that they're like eons above the crowd, like to stand out. Otherwise, what's the incentive here?
Or it has to be a full blown celebrity. Right. But oh my God, that's so funny.
But it was, I mean, the kind of like climax of the season was when someone just full blown like spit on another person. So it was very much like, okay, we're just kind of like really digging at the bottom here.
Oh no.
I feel like if I was a member of the queer community, I would be like, you know what? You straights can have The Bachelor. We don't need to be a part of this franchise. Actually, feel free to leave us and our community out of this. It's really okay. You've got enough shit going on.
Exactly. I kind of feel firmly in that camp where I'm like, you know what? The Bachelor, I very much enjoy it as a hit of heterosexual nonsense. And I'll watch it and enjoy it for that.
True. Oh,
but man. Us gays will embarrass ourselves in other ways for sure. Okay, so I've been listening to some episodes from your podcast. I know some alien shit has come up recently. Jess, you talked about if aliens were to come here, that you would start an open relationship with an alien.
Yes, absolutely. I just don't, you know, everyone's talking about their fear of aliens, and I just don't understand how we've never thought about that aliens might be so hot. And I don't, I mean, why do we always have this specific image of an alien? Like, I would really enjoy having a romantic experience, a sensual experience, perhaps consensually, with a being that is now coming down to Earth. And I feel like my partner would have to just be understanding. He'd be like, listen, I get this. This is maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity. So, you know, go for it.
Here's my thought. How do you know what you're consenting to?
That's a very good point. We Communication is key, and I'm not 100% sure what that would necessarily look like. These are good points to think about that I will have in preparation before, you know, my future boyfriend arrives on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, nobody said this would be easy. We're dealing with some gray area.
Right, it's a lot of gray area. You know, also, I've seen a meme floating around recently about someone with their future alien boyfriend, and the human was getting rejected by the alien, and I was like, this is also something I hadn't really processed yet, that now I might also be in the future rejected by extraterrestrials as well as random people at a bar. So that's great for people's self-esteem.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to start to think about it.
I tend to agree. I think, like, I already have enough competition.
Yeah.
I already have enough, you know, to make me feel bad about myself. I don't need to compete now with someone else.
Exactly. Jess is like, I am ready. I fully consent to this experience. The alien's like, I do not want to have sex with you.
The alien's
like,
please
stop talking to me.
That's a no for me. You've been talking my ear off the whole time. You're fangirling over me. I feel embarrassed for you. And this is something we hadn't thought about before. Yeah. You know, when we're talking about aliens, where our fear of aliens is that somehow they might hurt us, but maybe somehow they're just going to be hotter than us, and us humans will just have way more competition and feel more insecure.
Yeah, no, I can't deal with that. I can't even fathom it. I'm having a difficult enough time as it is, just kind of reacclimating into society after the last year with just humanity. So
the post-COVID conversations are tricky enough. Add in hot aliens. It's just going to be a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, I loved when you two were talking about just kind of like small talk and the perils of getting trapped in a conversation with someone. Like, going out, you sort of have to mentally prepare now for, I know I'm going to get stuck talking to someone. And especially as like podcaster, like, you know, we're good at kind of keeping a conversation going even when it should be dead.
Oh, God. Yeah. And then, of course, you resort to the really horrible conversation topic when there's a lull and you go, so like, Pfizer or Moderna? Like, did you have any side effects? And in your head, you're just like, oh my God, like, could I not have just bit the bullet and like made some sort of exit and walked away? No, instead I had to, oh, Johnson & Johnson. I really wanted that one and done, you know, lucky. I was hoping I could get it, but you know, they pulled it out for 3 weeks. And so I had to go with Moderna. I got fever for like 3 days.
Yeah, I think we should cut it out entirely and just go straight for like the real hard stuff.
Oh,
like,
absolutely. You know. So has Tell your relationship with your parents crumbled because you have different political views this year? Yeah. No? Oh, good for you. Okay. Well, I guess I'll just take an exit now.
Yeah, I go back and forth because I do know, like, gay dating, there is some version of a conversation that happens on every first date that is basically like, so do your parents hate you? Where it's like, it kind of does get very real very quickly. Yeah. in a totally fun, casual, not traumatic way that is under the surface deeply traumatic. Yeah, it's always a slippery slope when you're like, so let's talk about your
how
family.
Do you bring it up? Are you just like, so like, when did, like, do you ask like someone when they came out? Like, how does that come up organically?
I don't think it does, or if it does happen organically, I have not learned how to do it. You know, I'm famously a comedian, not because I have great social skills. So you can imagine. But yeah, I would say I tend to skirt around it. And then if they happen to volunteer anything that indicates one way or another, we can dive into that. But yeah, I learned my lesson early on when I started asking, like, you know, the first time someone was like, my dad died, I was like, okay, we're just not going to bring up parents.
Like, it's just, this is going to be off the table for the first couple days. Yeah.
It's for the best. Keep it real casual.
Listen, with the COVID conversations, the post-COVID, I was out the other day and I, all of a sudden, there was like a lull in the conversation and I got so anxious and all of a sudden was experiencing all of the social anxiety like out of nowhere that I pulled up on my phone, my notes app. My notes were our most recent pop culture episode. So I was just like, So what are your thoughts on J-Lo and Ben getting back together?
some quick topic points.
We had a quick pop culture things we should just go over. You know, just a tip for any listeners that if you're feeling socially awkward post COVID, just in your notes app, have a few conversation starters. Yeah, go on Yahoo News.
Yeah. See what's up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have a couple of monologue jokes.
Yes.
Just in your back pocket. A couple of transitions. Exactly.
Oh my God.
Now, can I bring up like one of the other things that I wrote down that I hated?
That's yeah, really let's get it. Let's get into like, some of the others.
I've kind of been chomping at the bit for this one. The thing that I hate that everyone else seems to love. I'm going to say it. It's stopping to pet other people's dogs in public. Uh-huh. And the reason I bring this up is because I feel like I've gone on dates before where I almost feel obligated, like out of some sort of sense of responsibility.
And
if
shame.
I am like with a guy to like, if I see a cute dog and, you know, he's like, oh my God, what a cute dog. And I'm like, I guess I have to get down on my knees and like pet this dog that I don't know. And like, do they have fleas? And when was the last time they're bathed? And I don't fucking care. And uh-huh. I just hate that. And then I wonder, I'm like, is everyone else just pretending to be interested in these dogs they don't know? Because dogs that I don't know are to me sort of like babies that I don't know. It's like, yes, they're cute. And maybe I'll walk past and like smile, but I don't want to stop and ask to hold your baby. I don't want to stop to ask to pet your dog. I don't fucking care because it's not my dog. It's not my baby. Why would I stop right. and waste my precious time like talking in a stupid baby voice to this random pet?
Right. I hard agree.
Thank you.
Dogs and babies, frankly. I'm like, I do. I sometimes feel like I'm emotionally dead when I'm in public, where I'm like, I feel bad for not having the reaction that you want me to have for your dog or baby. But like, I
don't care.
Yeah, it's sort of like casually passing. Like if I'm at a museum and I see like a painting or something, it's like, all right, I see it.
Yes.
It's there, I acknowledge it.
Just keep your eye at the skyline. It. Just skyline always. I'm not going to look down at the dogs and the babies. We're just good.
You smile, you nod. Oh, it's so cute. You move on swiftly.
Yeah. Okay. Some other items that you both had on your lists. Nutella
is just weird. Like, I've tried it and I'm just like, it's just not good. What do I fucking want to fucking eat Nutella on? Like, toast? No, I just want butter. I don't want Nutella on it. What else would I uh-huh. eat it with? Why? It's not good.
Hazelnut is like a strong flavor that I'm not always on board with.
Like
I have to be in the mood.
Yeah, like I'll have it in a cookie. Like I'll have like a hazelnut cookie with like a, maybe like a, if there was like a sandwich cookie that had a little layer of Nutella in it, sure. But like my siblings used to like eat spoonfuls of Nutella out of the jar. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you fools?
I love it so much. I love it so much. I was raised by a bunch of Swiss Germans who would put Nutella on anything they could get their hands on. Like anytime you'd be like, you want some seasoning? They'd be like, just slap some Nutella on it. And
tell me what the best things are.
I mean,
Nutella
it was
with.
Typically always any sort of fruit or bread.
Okay.
But I will tell you that most of the time I just ate it out of the jar. And once during one of my college finals, I bought a jar of Nutella and I ate the entire thing. Yes. And I woke up the next morning. And when I tell you, I was top to bottom covered in zits, like top to bottom. My body was just like, bitch, that was too much Nutella. Too much.
Yeah, that is disgusting. Yeah,
no, it was one of those things that I like, you know, it's almost like waking up next to someone that you're like, oh fuck, why? Yeah, I turned over and there's an empty jar of Nutella by like my books, and I'm just like,
I can
oh,
like feel
my
the
God.
Aftertaste in your mouth after you've like eaten too much sugary things. Like I can just mm-hmm. it's tangible yeah. to me and oh
yeah, my mouth was like an open wound.
No, the Nutella on its own, I think, is what is offensive to me. But yeah, you know, like a Nutella in like a baked situation, like a baked good
on a croissant, toast, yeah,
in a crepe,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine. Nutella crepe, I will accept.
Yeah, Well, sadly, we're out of time, but you both were amazing. Where can people find you both and your work?
Well, you can check out Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess, our podcast, anywhere that podcasts are streaming, Apple, Spotify, Google Play. We also have a YouTube channel where we drop all of the visual portion of the podcast, and
Chatty Broads.
At Chatty Broads on Instagram. And then mine is at The Bad Mom with two D's. And
I'm at Becca. B-E-K-A-H.
Got that single name.
Beautiful. Well, thank you both so much. I wish we could, you know, keep talking forever, but I'll let you go.
It's lovely, Matt.
Yeah, Matt, we can talk with you forever about things that we hate. Thank you so much for having us.
Truly, we could always keep going, but thank you. All right. We're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that help all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. This week, I wanted to highlight a couple of things, because guess what? It's still Pride Month. I know. It's like, when will these gays just get over it? Okay? It's been going on forever. But we're still in Pride Month, even though you could support all of these things all year round. Speaking as a homosexual myself, in fact, I encourage it. We've talked about this before, but there are a whole bunch of anti-trans legislation that are going through a whole bunch of states right now. And the ACLU has a tracker so you can see which states are passing what or trying to pass what. And then you can get more aggressive, obviously, if it's happening in your state. So it's a great tracker just to see what kind of shit they're pulling in each of these states to try to keep trans people from participating in sports, to try to legislate trans people out of bathrooms, to try to stop trans people from getting the healthcare that they need. So it's important, obviously, to keep a track on all of this, and the ACLU is doing a great job at it. And then the other thing is this great big group of Black trans groups that are all kind of aggregated into this donation fund that you can give money to. So it's one of those funds on actblue.com, and someone has done a lot of work to kind of put together all of these Black trans groups. You can give a donation that splits among all of these groups, or you can pick and choose which ones you want to donate to. But they have a really great, I mean, this is one of the most comprehensive lists of Black trans organizations that I've seen. So it's a great place to just have in your bookmarks to donate to. So keep track of all of the shit that's going down, especially if it's in your state, and give some money if you can, and happy Pride. All right, let's get into the TV we're watching this week. Barry, what have you been watching?
I started watching Mythic Quest, which is on Apple TV. It's a workplace comedy about a place that makes role-playing video games. It's like Rob McElhenney and like a couple people from the It's Always Sunny universe who produce it and write it. And it's pretty fun. It's a delightful, fun show. So that is what I've been watching. Also, I'm just very, I flew a plane to get to LA, and it was just very fun to be back with that all that plane content. On my way back, I will be watching things on the plane, and I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
What about you? What are you watching?
I watched a show that you watched a while ago.
Oh.
The Comeback. I finally watched The Comeback.
Oh, my God.
Lisa Kudrow. I don't think we talked about how an entire running joke in the show is that her only award is a People's Choice Award.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
And it is very funny to watch that show and to see my People's Choice Award that is sitting right next to my television look exactly the same as Valerie Cherish's. Yeah. Wow. If you haven't seen, The Comeback is like a show within a show within a show, basically.
It's incredible.
It is Lisa Kudrow making a pretend behind the scenes show for this character who used to be a sitcom star and is now kind of like a little bit washed up. And it's just ridiculous. It's so cringy.
It's
but
so
she's
good.
So good at it.
And it came out a while ago, and then they brought it back for another season. And like, it truly is just one of the best shows. It's just hands down so good.
Yeah. It's also a very quick watch. I like started it a few days ago and I already finished all of it. I didn't even realize the second season was only like 8 episodes.
Yeah.
And I finished it this morning. Last episode. It got me. Anyway, what is your non-TV chaser?
This trip going on a plane for the first time since February 2020, you know, being in LA, it's just been all the cliches of bright and sunny and full of smoothies and avocado toast. And it just brings me joy. Glad to be back here. I'm coming back soon. So it's fine. You know, it's a short trip, but it's nice to be here.
Beautiful.
What about you? What is your non-TV chaser?
My chaser is fucking squares of chocolate.
Woohoo!
Did I say before that my favorite snack was just eating a fistful of like chocolate chunks over the sink?
I think it has been mentioned, but I don't know if that was my chaser
before, but yeah. I mean, I clearly need some type of dessert. I don't understand people who are able to like eat dinner and then not immediately have an entire dessert.
I need that sweet at the end.
Yeah. I did forget that we ordered insomnia cookies, and even though we had a pretty violent physical disagreement over where to order dessert from, I'm a big fan. Let me retroactively say that my chaser is ordering dessert to be delivered.
Ooh.
Okay. Because I, in the past week, so you were at my apartment before you left me for LA. We ordered insomnia cookies after a lengthy stone disagreement over where exactly we should order from. But let me tell you, that was one of the best cookies I've had in a long time.
It was delicious.
But I just love the luxury of having like a single dessert delivered. Mm-hmm. I also not long before or after that, was it this week? I think it was this week I ordered a single piece of chocolate cake to my apartment. Unfortunately, that was not worth it because it was a bad piece of cake. And that makes it does make the kind of come down from it that much harder, because it's like, ugh. I just kind of, because of course you do order one piece of cake and it's like $20 after it's delivered. but it's like, this is going to be the best piece of cake. And then when it's not, it is kind of disappointing. But there is something extremely luxurious about ordering a single dessert. I'm a big fan of it. And I do it quite often. And guess what? I don't regret a single second of it.
Good.
So get out there, order yourself a single dessert. And that's it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening to Unhappy Hour. If you want more Unhappy Hour shit, and obviously you do, you can head straight to my Patreon page where you'll get what? Video of bonus Worst Things First stories that are cut from each week's episode. Video of the full extended guest complainer interviews from each week's episode, and a whole bunch of other stuff. You can also buy some merch at unhappyhourshop.com. And obviously, as always, you can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audacy, that's AUDACY. Wherever you get podcasts, hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Arlena Revelo, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansel Su. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. True to your heart. You must be true to your heart. Because when you're true to your heart. I can't believe Elite you didn't mention.
Wait. Oh, my God. I forgot that it's back.
It is.
Oh, my God. Now I fuck watching something on the plane from the plane itself. I'm going to be... No, Elite is too intense to watch on a plane. Never mind.